All right, joining us now, we have one of the great short game gurus, James Seekman. James, what's going on this morning?
Well, just at my club, getting ready for a full day in the hot sun, but excited to be here with you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. You were at Oakmont earlier this week. You know, probably when you were there, the golf course was playing firm and fast and was going to be looking to be as difficult as ever. I don't know. It seemed like as soft as it got, the scores still weren't all that great. Is that kind of what you expected to see?
Wow. I'm going to tell you, when I was going around there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I was thinking that the winning score might be 10 over. And the boys are lucky that it rained, even though it's still very, very difficult, obviously. You get guys with a caliber of players, the firepower of some of those guys like Phil Mickelson and whatever, and they're 6, 7, 8 over par. I mean, it's just, you can only imagine how, you know. I was going around with Smiley Kaufman, one of my students, and Charlie Hoffman, and they had arranged to play together for me, which was nice. And I remember telling one of the caddies, they said, "Well, what would you shoot on this?" And I thought, if I broke 90, it would be pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, the combination of the rough and the greens seems just diabolical. And I saw a quote from you earlier in the week that said after you walked Oakmont, you'd put even money on there being more injuries than under par scores for the week. I mean, is it just describe for those of us who haven't been on the course and certainly didn't see it this week what it's like to see a ball settle down in that rough and how the heck you're supposed to hack it out.
Yeah, well, you're not. I mean, you're. I'll say this: a couple stories. I mean, you got a guy like Charlie Hoffler's forearms look like Popeye, and he's hitting, on a par five, drives it in the rough, and he's advancing it down there like 80, 90 yards, and it's just not healthy. I mean, to put your joints through that type of trauma daily, and that's kind of what I was going with there. And then at least, you know, Tuesday, obviously a completely different course, and it didn't come to fruition. If it wouldn't have rained, it would have been unbelievable. The guys were hitting sand wedges from 100 yards that the ball would hit on the green and roll just right off the green, and you know, they could not get a sand wedge to stop. Now obviously they're hitting 7 irons in there and they're stopping. So it's just a different tournament. But it was Tuesday, it was scary.
All right, James, we had a question in our first segment. And here's the question I'm going to ask you. Which will play more of a factor down the stretch of the U.S. Open, the greens or the rough? So which is going to be more penal, do you think, as we dry out and get to Saturday afternoon and all day on Sunday? Is it going to be tougher for these guys to navigate the greens or the rough?
You know, it's going to be the rough for sure because, A, the guys play on impossible greens almost weekly. You know, these are Augusta-like, and the winner always handles the greens. You know, they're just having a week on the greens that somewhat magical where they're holing all the tough putts from 5 to 10 feet. So it's really the big deal there is getting the ball in play. And as firm and fast as the fairways were, that was going to be a really hard task. And so that's why a guy like Angel Cabrera, who hits it long and straight off the tee, won last time. And so it's going to be somebody that could really have a great week with the driver. Now that it's soft, I think that brought a whole lot more players into the tournament. It was a little easier to hit the fairways when they're not running 30, 40, 50 yards and they're slopey. But it's still, if you're driving in the rough, it's bogey. If you, a typical tour up and in percentage from the rough around the greens is 47%. And that rough is nasty. But last time at Oakmont, it was 37%. So it's just a really tough getting the ball up and in once you miss the green. It's impossible to hit the green if you drive it in the rough. So the rough's the issue.
Hi, well, we're talking to James Seekman, a short game guru and author of The Short Game Solution, Mastering the Finesse Game from 120 and In. All right, well, I'm going to ask you about 120 and In at Oakmont. I mean, from a technical standpoint, Take the heavy rough out of play because that's just unfair. But how do these guys approach it? Are they better off being in a bunker where they maybe can get enough spin on the ball? How do these guys handle 120 in at Oakmont?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to be almost like a par as birdie. So let's imagine you drive it in the rough. Where are you going to hit it on a par, a 480 yard par four or whatever? The best you're going to do is get it out there maybe 80, 70, 60 yards in front of the green. Obviously, trying to just get it in the fairway where you have some measure of control. And if you can get that ball up and in from there 50, 60, 70% of the time, which quality players like that can, that's how you're going to get around Oakmont and, even par. And I think that's, typically we're thinking of short game more like around the greens. But I think at Oakmont, a tough test with that, it's more about just keeping it in play. So that's good driving. And then, when you do make a mistake, getting it back in play out in front of the green somewhere where you have some measure of control.
All right, James. So Dustin Johnson at 4-under. Andrew Landry has lost a shot through six holes today. He's at 3-under. Lee Westwood at 3. Piercy, Garcia, Lowry at 2. We're all the way down to where we've got 12 guys under par right now. Knowing what you know from seeing the course earlier in the week, knowing that the forecast yesterday had no rain in it, drier conditions today and tomorrow, both going to be drier conditions. Where do you see the scores going? I mean, we had 11 scores under par in round one. We're going to be fairly close to that potentially in round two. What's going to happen over the weekend? Are we going to see par, over par? How many over par? Where do you think this is going to end up at?
I think the scores are definitely going higher. I still think over par wins. And I really like Dustin Johnson because I think he's the best driver in the game at the moment. And such a huge advantage. Obviously, just talked about driving, I think, being the key to the week. So as the pressure mounts, which is going to, and as the course dries out, the scores are definitely going up. So I still see – I don't know if there'll be five over par like it was last time, but – I still feel like you shoot one or two over, you got an awesome chance to win this tournament.
Wow. Well, all right. So let's take you out to the average golfer, because those of us who are going out to play this Father's Day or play in the next couple of weeks, we're not going to face conditions like that. But when you talk about mastering the short game, what's the biggest impediment to success for the amateur golfer, the recreational golfer? What's standing in that player's way when it comes to success in the short game?
That's really the key question. I'm really good, because that's essentially why I wrote this book, because there are a lot of people out there that are willing to work hard, that have talent and ability, and just don't know what to do, don't know what the process is to grow and improve. And a lot of us kind of mistakenly think it only in terms of technique, and that's certainly a factor. I go through all the different techniques to hit a high, soft, spinning bunker shot, to have a soft touch around the greens and adapt to different conditions and in the rough and whatnot. But the essential ingredients are making your training time count, making it effective and efficient, so that if you put a half an hour in, you're actually getting some value and growing your skill. So really go into deep detail on how to organize not only the technical work that you do, which is kind of what we all think about when we're trying to get better, but that's just a small piece of the equation. So I go into that, say, okay, this is what I would do, and knock out your technique work, and maybe as little as 10 to 20% of your training time. And then the rest of the time is about growing skill. And if you think about skills around the green, it's not just hitting it solid, it's controlling trajectory, judging your lie, picking landing spots, choosing the right shot to play. It's about what you do mentally after a good shot, what you do mentally after a poor shot to grow confidence or learn. And so I really try and create structure for that person that's willing to work, that just doesn't know quite what to do to grow.
Well, one of the things that I've seen around clubs is you get somebody, he gets off of work, a dad gets off from work, and he's got a half an hour before dinner, a half an hour before he's picking his kids up from camp, or so he's got a half an hour, he's going to go to the range, and he's looking at the ball machine, and he gets the large bucket, Is that a mistake? You know, you've got a half an hour, 45 minutes to hit balls. Is the mistake just getting that large bucket and just whacking away for 30 straight minutes in a full sweat?
So what do you think you're going to do? You're going to go out there and you're going to do what you've always done. There's no process. There's no routine. There's no real variance in the shots you play. And maybe after the 10th 7 iron, you're feeling pretty good about yourself because the balls are all flying straight, you know. And then all of a sudden you go out to the golf course and you got the ball below your feet. You got a cut wind. You got a left pin. You need to hit a draw. I mean, you've done none of this type of things necessary to prepare to play well on the course. And the science is very clear that the transfer value of going out and hitting a bucket of balls on a flat surface, no feedback on whether you're actually training technically what your intent is, and then, you know, no variance in shot, just reproducing the same type of shot over and over, it has zero transfer value. So you go out there after your hard-earned day at work, and you go out there and hit a bucket of balls, and you could very likely get worse because what happens if – okay, that's what happens if you're hitting them well. There's no transfer value, okay, so you're still net zero. What happens if you're hitting them poorly? What do you do then? You start to tinker. You think about your swing. I think I'll change things. I call it like having a self-destruct button on your forehead that you continually push. And that's really, quite honestly, the real issues. It's like people don't know how about. So I've coached all these pros. I've taught over 80 tour players. And all I thought is, what if the average person knew how a great player goes about getting better? Because there's things that you need to accomplish. You need very specific things, and there's ways to do it that are effective and efficient, and yet nobody's doing them on your home club, you know, just the pros. So that's what I wanted to share in my book.
Again, we're speaking with James Siekman, the master of the modern short game. You have several books. One of them is on putting, your putting solution. When I start looking at the leaderboard for the U.S. Open, and, you know, I'm with you, Dustin Johnson's one of the great drivers of the golf ball. For me, the putting leaves a little bit to be desired. He's got 65 putts through two rounds. He's hit a lot of greens in regulation. Doesn't seem like he's really making anything. Lee Westwood is another guy that's now currently tied for lead with Dustin Johnson. Not really a good putter. Sergio Garcia is a great ball striker. Not really a good putter. What happens with these guys? What breaks down under pressure with guys like Johnson, Westwood, and Garcia that keeps them from getting over the top and winning major championships? Because it really seems like it comes down to putting.
Yeah, well, the one thing in common that you mentioned there is Sergio Garcia, Westwood, and Dustin Johnson might be this three of the top 10 best ball strikers on the planet. And that, like I said, this course lends itself to that more than others. But I think the issue is it's a question of skill. It's certainly not a question of stroke mechanics or the amount of time that they're putting in to hone their craft. Putting is a game of really four separate skills. And just take one, for example, of choosing the right line, green reading, so to speak. If you're making great strokes, but you're misreading the green by a cup width from 15 feet. I mean, beautiful putts don't go in. And at some point when balls aren't going in and the guys that you're playing with, they are. I mean, the swagger, the confidence that you need to execute under duress, under a high-pressure situation, that's going to suffer as well. And I think those guys all suffer from a little lack of confidence or swagger on the green that somebody like Jordan Spieth clearly has. And it's just a matter of developing skill, and kind of talked a little bit about that as being a way of specifically how you train to develop that skill. If you're just dropping three balls on the putting green and putting, you're not doing really anything necessary to be great. Your training needs to be much more specific than that. And by the way, when you train correctly, it's actually more fun than just dropping three balls on the green and putting. So,
excellent. All right, well, James, before we let you go, let everybody know how to maybe get some lessons from you or where to find your books.
Well, I have a golf academy in Omaha, Nebraska. That would be – first thing you should do is, if you're interested, is maybe read the books first, for sure. I have a wedge book, your short game solution, and a putting book out, Barnes & Noble or Amazon or iTunes. And hopefully, I think I wrote it for kind of a serious golfer. Don't have to be great, but just somebody that's really intentful on trying to improve. I think your readers would enjoy it.
All right. Well, James, thanks for coming on. We hope to catch up with you again sometime soon.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. That's James Seekman, the master of the modern short game.